We are continuing in our study, hopefully, maybe, of, I entitled it Mirror, Mirror. And it is simply I called it a study of image. And as we've kind of launched out into this study, we've talked about, in the sense of the Word of God, what it means, what it means to have an image, and that image not being necessarily the physical part of us. And we know that has something to do with it, but the reality of being in the image of God, or as the Bible says, in the image of Christ, and what that entails. And last week we kind of concluded talking about how that the Word of God is not a window through which we judge people, but it's a mirror which we look into, and out of that mirror we are able to see and understand those areas of our life that are not in the image of God. Those areas of our life that need work, because we all need work. We all need God's help. We all need Him to help us conform unto His image, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to help us to be more like God. Because if there's anything that I want in my life, and I hope the desire is there for you as well, I want to be Jesus to the world. I want to show forth those signs of a changed life. I want the image that I present to be less about Nathan Wells and more about Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's not something that just happens. That is something that takes effort. That is something that takes discipline. Just as we talked in the natural, if somebody was going to change their natural image, sometimes they go to some extreme measures to do so. But if I was to say just had a desire to get in shape, and I was not in shape, I was not healthy, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a healthy person. I wanted to be fit. I wanted to watch my calorie intake. I wanted to shed some pounds. All those things, that thing, it just doesn't happen. And I know there's a lot of advertisement that appeals to people that they can take a pill or they can do this certain procedure, and then as a result of that, man, they shed the pounds and they change their image, and we understand all those things. But in the spiritual, if I'm going to change, if I am going to be more like God, if I am going to be what it really means to be a Christian, Christ-like, it's going to take some work. It's not just going to happen. There is going to be some effort on my part in order to make that happen, to present the image of Jesus Christ to the world, to present His goodness. And so tonight we're going to go into a little bit deeper, but I want to start with a different focus verse, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We addressed this last week, but I want to look into a little bit further. The Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and we understand that word glass is essentially a looking glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, with truth and understanding, with open faith, completely revealed, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So a couple things I want to address in this verse of Scripture. When we're talking about image, how change happens? How can someone facilitate change in their life? When someone who is in sin, someone who is living a destructive lifestyle, when someone who is not following after the things of God, doesn't really have any image, if you will, of godliness or righteousness in their life, when that person makes a decision, and we understand that is what repentance essentially is to say, I need to be different. When someone comes to that conclusion in their life, and when someone comes to that crossroad where they say, I need a change, I need to be changed. All of us in our walk and relationship with God, all of us had a crossroad. All of us had a decision point at which we made the conscious decision, things have to change. I have to be different. So how does this change happen? Real spiritual change does not take place any other way than through the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says it only happens through the Spirit of the Lord. Now, and here's where I think often in our modern pursuit of Christianity, and I say that very, very generally, okay? In the modern pursuit of Christianity, we have, and I think in error, we have started to believe this kind of lie that says that we can really facilitate change in people by having better programs, by having more lights, more sound, more of this and more of that. And I'm not demeaning those things, but we need to understand that those things in and of themselves do not truly facilitate change. They may give a social atmosphere, they may give fellowship, they may in some way institute some ethical change or some moral change, but as far as actual spiritual change, where I am changed into the image of God, where I am changed from a life of sin into a life of pursuing after righteousness, that only happens through the Spirit of the Lord. While programs, processes, councils, sessions, etc. may facilitate some change in our lives, being changed in the image of Christ happens no other way than through the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't happen any other way. To truly change, to truly be different, not in just the sense of what I look like or where I go and what I participate in, but to really change from one who does evil to one who does good, it takes the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of the Lord. Programs and the like must be Spirit-inspired and involve the working of the Holy Ghost in order to effect true change into the image of Christ. If I truly want to be changed in the image of Christ, and I truly want to be what it means to be a Christian, and not Christian in name only, or not Christian in term only, but truly have a lifestyle of a Christian, then that is only going to be facilitated through the Spirit of the Lord. That is the only thing that will truly affect change in my life, is the power of the Holy Ghost. And it takes conscious effort submitting to the power of God. It takes a willingness to set my own will aside and my own desires and my own fleshly aspirations and pursuits and say, no, I want to pursue what God wants. I want to be made into His image. I want to do what He has done and what He does. I want to live a life that is pleasing unto God in His image. It was interesting the other day. I went on a field trip with Kinsley, and we went to Hoover Educational Center, and in the middle of the class setting, the guy that was leading the program, he asked for Kinsley and I to stand up, and he was talking about the differences and relations in the animal kingdom and going through all this, and so he had Kinsley and I stand up together, and he began to ask the kids some questions. Can you tell that they are related? And some of the kids said yes, and of course he checked. He said, you are related, right? I said, yeah, we're related. She's mine. So he started asking some questions, and he says, well, how do you know, or how do you think you know that they're related? And so I kind of knelt down so our faces were together, and somebody said, well, they have same color eyes. And he's like, yes. And they have same kind of chin line. And they said, yes. And so he's facilitating all this. He said, well, then how are they different? How are some ways that they're different? One little kid raises his hand, and I knew it was coming at some point, and he goes, well, she has a lot of hair. And you know what came next. But one of the things, and I know that's funny, but one of the things that went in that whole discussion, he said, there's a likeness between them. There, you can tell just by looking at them that they are related. Started thinking, can someone, by looking at my life, see that I'm a child of God? It has nothing to do with my hair or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with my nose. It has nothing to do with my facial feature. It has nothing to do with my walk in the sense of the natural, but it certainly does in my walk in the sense of the spiritual. It certainly does in my image in the sense of the spiritual. Can people tell? Can people look at my life and say, there's relation there? Can people look at me and say, yes, that individual is a Christian. That individual is Christ-like. There's relation there between that individual and God. And the only way that that is going to happen, the only way that people are going to see that, and the only way that I'm going to live in that aspect is going to be facilitated by the Spirit of the Lord. That's it. So let's go into this a little bit further. I brought this passage out last week, but I want to look at it again. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. This is the passage of Scripture right after this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord working in our lives, the power of the Holy Ghost working in our life, changes us into the image, into the same image. Well, let's then look at the next verse of Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, pay attention here, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Apostle Paul is saying, listen, and I hope you understand I'm paraphrasing. We preach not ourselves. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's ultimately about God. And the more that you and I are like him, and the more that we are changed into his image, the more Jesus, the more image of God this world sees. The face of Jesus Christ, not his physical features. Thought about it like this. When you read the passages, the messianic prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, and you understand what they did to him and the atrocities that were committed against him in a physical nature. They disfigured, they messed up his physical image. But you know what image they did not touch? They didn't touch the image of God. They may have messed with his flesh, and they may have marred him, and they may have scarred him, and they may have done atrocities to his physical image, but they didn't touch his spirit. Because even after all the atrocities were committed, he hung upon the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ, who is the image of God. It wasn't about his physical image. It wasn't about that he was a Jew. It was about the fact that he was Almighty God manifested in flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. And though the physical image of Jesus Christ was disfigured and distorted, the spiritual image of Jesus Christ remained perfect. While they lied about him, while they tried and they defamed him and they said things about him, the Bible said, opened he not his mouth. He never even attempted to defend his own image. Catch this. But he kept it perfect before God. And he was the perfect sacrifice. And the challenge to you and I is simply this. If we want to be made into the image of Jesus Christ, it is about doing what he did. Now, let's talk about this image of Christ. What are we talking about in the image of Christ? Well, first of all, we need to understand we seek the image of Christ because he is the image of the invisible God. We seek to do what Jesus did, to live how Jesus lived. That's where the term Christian comes from, to be Christ-like, to do as Jesus did. And the reason why we want to do as Jesus did, and the reason we know we cannot do it upon ourselves or based upon our own ability, it only comes through the Spirit of the Lord. And as we become more like him, as we are changed into his image from glory to glory, the more Jesus the world sees. then the end of that passage, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here's the question. What is the treasure? What is the treasure referenced in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7? It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what's the treasure? Somebody said the Holy Spirit. Yes, but think about what the Holy Spirit does. Think about what the Holy Ghost does. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Catch it. Jesus was Almighty God manifested in flesh. He had the fullness of the Godhead in him bodily, the Bible says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the image of Christ. Catch this. This treasure, the image of Christ, who is the image of God, whose image we are changed into by the Spirit of the Lord, it is in the earthen vessel. Catch this. The power of the Holy Ghost, someone who is born again of Spirit inside of me, is that treasure. That treasure is the image of the invisible God inside this earthen vessel, inside this imperfect. Catch it. Inside this earthen vessel that messes up and makes mistakes, inside this earthen vessel, there is a treasure. It's not about the container. It's about what's contained. Catch it. It's about what's inside. It's about this treasure that is an earthen vessel. And if this treasure I allow and I submit to it and it becomes more of who I am, guess what? People see more treasure and less trash. My righteousness as a filthy rags. And so the more that I allow God to manifest himself in my life, the more that this earthen vessel gets set to the back and the treasure comes to the forefront, the more Jesus, who is the image of God, people see, and the more of a Christian I am. What kind of offends me sometimes is people who very loosely use the term Christian. But I struggle to find a reflection of Jesus Christ in their life. I struggle to find that image of the invisible God. I struggle to find that image of Christ in them. And I'm not being judgmental. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm saying if they really understood what it means to be a Christian, if they really got their definition of what it means to be a Christian, not from the popular vote or not from what other people say Christianity is, but if they really got their definition of what it means to be a Christian from the Word of God, from the mirror, if they really looked into the Word of God, they would be rather hesitant to qualify themselves as a Christian. I'm just going to be very candid. There are some times in my life where I would love to say that term and hold that label and feel like I do it justice. I think there's others in the room that have the same feeling. There are many times in my life where I feel like I fall so drastically short of what it means to be a Christian. But I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to do more. And so tomorrow is another chance, another opportunity to get less of the earthen vessel, less of that flesh, less of the me showing through, and get some of that out of the way so that the new man, who is the image of God, that new man can shine through and make a difference in other people's lives and do good. So what is the image of Christ? What is it exactly? When we talk about we want the image of Christ to shine through in our lives, we want to truly be a Christian, well then please tell me, what is the image of Christ? What is it? What is the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ? What is the face of Jesus Christ? What is his identity? How do we define, or how do we put into words what the image of Christ is? Because if that's what we long for and that's what we want in our lives, we've got to know what it is. We've got to know what that image is. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What a great compliment, if you will, was given to Jesus when a man by the name of Nicodemus came to him and said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know by what you do that you're not ordinary." Catch it. Peter, preaching to Cornelius and his household, says this: "This Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So if we really want, and I know it's probably so much more than this, but just for the sake of tonight and understanding, if we really want to know what the image of Christ is, it's doing good, setting people free from evil. It's evidence that God is with us. It's evidence that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, because that treasure inside of me, if I submit to it and allow it to work, it will cause me to do good. To set at liberty them that are bruised. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach deliverance to the captives. What are you saying? Listen, the reason why I have this treasure in an earthen vessel is it so I can do as Jesus did, so that I can go about doing good, so that every day of my life I am endeavoring to do good amongst my family, to do good amongst my workplace, to do good in my social circles, to do everything I can in my life to do and be an example of goodness, to be wholesome, to have integrity and character in my life, not just be moral, not just be ethical. There's a lot of people that do that, and I thank God for that, but to go about doing good and realize that I am in spiritual warfare, and there are those oppressed of the devil who need healing, and I can be a channel and a vessel through the Spirit of the Lord, as he has changed me and helped me, I can help facilitate change in them. For the image of Christ is simply doing good, setting free from evil, having evidence in our life that God is with us. If somebody were to be asked about me, does he walk with God? Would people who view my life say without hesitation, oh yes, he walks with God? Is he a man of God? Oh yes, he's a man of God. Is she a woman of God? Oh yes, she is a woman of God. Does that mean we don't ever make mistakes? No, we fail sometimes. We mess up. We're not perfect. But the treasure inside of me is. And the more I allow that perfection to shine through, the more I allow that goodness to be displayed. Let your light show shine before men. Why? That they may see your what? Good works. And what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The reason I do what I do is just not so I get my ticket punched and make it to heaven. Oh, that's all well and good, but somewhere along the line, your relationship with God has got to get past whether it's heaven or hell, and it's got to get to the place where I want to do good. I want to be good. I want to be the image of the invisible God. I want to be the image of Christ doing good and setting those free from evil. I want evidence in my life that God is with me. I want evidence in my life that when people know they need something that this world cannot provide, and they've reached a place where they are not satisfied and it no longer works for them, and they need an answer. There's somebody who says, I know somebody who can help you, or that somebody has an walking relationship with God themselves, that they say, I know how to help you because he helps me, and together you can be different. You can affect change in your life through the power of the Holy Ghost. Last week we talked about putting off the old man with his deeds or doing evil and putting on the new man made in the image of God, which is essentially doing good. I use the mirror of the Word of God to put off the old man, to take off malice and anger and deceit, take off those things that are of the world, to take off the deeds of evil, and I use the mirror of the Word of God to then put on the new man. Righteousness, holiness. I use the Word of God to help me be the image of Christ to the world. And here's the struggle. Here's where we all live. I'm not making excuses for us. This is the reality of our humanity. This is the reality of the flesh in which we live. Paul says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that that I would not, is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me? See, I'm still an earthen vessel. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. I need a volunteer. Going once. Going twice. Come on, Dan. Come on, Jenna. Come on down. The white tape will represent good. The blue tape will represent evil. Now, what I want you to do is just start ripping pieces off and just sticking them on you. Just wherever they'll apply. Jenna is going about doing good. She is applying goodness in her life. She is, through the power of the Holy Ghost, she's doing things that are good. She's, the Bible would say, things like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those that are in prison. The sick, giving cups of water. She's doing good. See, look at all the good that's on her life. Now, Dan, on the other hand, not doing so good. He's one that participates in evil. He likes destruction. He likes those things that are not of righteousness and not of goodness. Go ahead, keep going. I thought about this the other day. Somebody posted something on Facebook, and they said it was a song. It was obviously, I could tell it was a Christian song, and I knew the individual that put it on there in the form that he put it on there, and he termed it like this. He said, and I'm not speaking evil against him. He said, this guy wrecked this song, WRECKED, and I'm like, that's gonna be funny. But I didn't realize he was using wrecked in a positive sense. And I thought to myself, we've kind of done that as a world. We've taken Some years ago, a man who's no longer with us that you may know or have heard of, a man by the name of Michael Jackson, came out with a song that says, "I'm bad." And all of a sudden, bad was good. Bad was cool. I've heard people say, like, man, they destroyed it. And I'm like, then it should be in pieces. But no, I mean, it's like good. They destroyed it. I'm like, wait a second. Why? And please understand where I'm coming from. Why have we taken the connotation of what is bad and given it a connotation of good? I don't understand that. But that's what we've done in society. You're doing a lot of evil, bro. Doing a lot of good. Okay, you can stop. Now this is what happens. Look at this verse of scripture. Here, stand, Jenna on one side, Dan on the other. Look at yourselves in the mirror first. See a lot of good? Yeah? What do you see? A lot of not so good, huh? Let's go back to this verse of scripture. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. The evil that which I would not do, that I do. Because here's what happens. Somebody goes about doing good, doing right. And folks, we see this all the time in our society. Someone who professes to be a Christian, someone who is a preacher, someone who's supposed to be living right and doing right. And guess what? They mess up. And this individual that lives a hedonistic life and has no concern for what is good or what is right. Man, they do something good. They give to charity or they do something to support some kind of mission. And all of a sudden, this person, man, they did a good thing. And what happens sometimes in our life is we go into the mirror and we look in the mirror and then kind of look in the mirror and guess what? Our attention goes right to that good thing. Yeah, I did good. Good about my. And on the other side of the coin, this individual that goes about doing good, they mess up and they made a mistake, and then they look in the mirror and it's like a big, huge pimple. Bam! Messed up. Made a mistake. And oftentimes, we discredit. Somebody does something wrong, and we will take the 5% out of their life that they did bad, and we'll let it negate the 95% good. Catch this. We'll let somebody who lives an evil lifestyle and they do something good and we call that individual a good person. Well, that individual's a good person. Folks, the definition of what is good and what is not good is in the Word of God. But the reality is that even though those individuals who go about doing good, there are times they do bad. There are mistakes that are made. And here's the thing that often happens amongst us, because we all know ourselves. We got some of this going on. I'm not saying we're not good. We don't try to do good. We don't ever do good. But guess what? We got some blue going on. And why is it that we're so easily drawn to that? That's so easily to point out. We neglect to look at all the good, and we just like, man, woo, yeah, woo. You see that when you look in the mirror, don't you? Yeah. Bam, it's right there. But we got these ourselves. But see, the reality in living for God is that I want to take more of these off and put more of those on. Follow what I'm saying? I want to take off more of my imperfections because that's all I got in me. That is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I want to take more of me off and put more of him on. So that when people see me, and though there may be some bad in my life, and though I may not always do everything perfect, they understand that individual. They may have messed up, they may have made a mistake, but man, there's good in that person's life. And here's the thing. For some reason, we have this impression that because we are a Christian, that we are somehow all white and no blue. That's just how we live. Just go about doing good because I don't make anybody mad. I don't say anything wrong. Yeah. But you see, if I'm allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to work in my life, I'm getting rid of more of this, and I'm adding more of that. And I'm being the image of Christ to the world. You can take off all your goodness. You can take off all the evil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In the sense of, we got to be careful. Judge not, lest you be judged yourselves. For the same that you judge, you're judged. I got some blue on me. I bet you got some blue on you. But the more I'm living for God, the more I want this blue taken off and the white there. I want to do good. I want to be good. Now, catch this. Here's a great thing. Good is greater than evil. I gotta look in the mirror and make sure I got it all off. Good is greater than evil. Watch this. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from an error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and catch this last part, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Kind of seems like a good thing covers some bad things. Is that not the image of Christ? A good thing? He offered himself once, and as a result of that good thing, catch this, the sins of many. So in the image of Christ, the more I do, that's why it should not be a burden to do good. We should understand, wait a second, I should want to do good. I should be zealous of good works. Why? Because not only is that goodness showing the image of Christ, but that goodness is helping me cover all the blue. It's helping me hide those areas of indiscretion in my life that, guess what? They're there. And so I want to go about doing good. Look at this. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Good is greater than evil. The more good that I do, the more evil I overcome. That's why it was a very profound statement, I believe. I don't believe it was original, but I may be incorrect on the source, but it was one of our presidents, I believe, maybe it was Eisenhower, that said, the only thing for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So for you and I, in our endeavoring to live for God and be Christians and display His image to this world, it's doing good. It's being good. It's living good. Having a good lifestyle. Having good conversation. It's behavior. Why? Because I want to be the image of God to the world. And that good not only deals with our morals and our ethics and our lifestyle, but that good has to do with the force against evil and setting free those that are oppressed of the devil and allowing His image to shine forth through me, so that those that sit in darkness can see a light. Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How is it going to shine unless you and I facilitate? Unless we are the image of Christ, who is the image of God. I'm closing, you can stand. As far as my lifestyle, as far as what I'm endeavoring to do and be, and I know it's just tape. The reason why I need church, the reason why I need read the Word of God, the reason why I need to pray, the reason why I need to do those things that facilitate the Spirit of God. Praise, worship, fast, read the Bible, fellowship. Because all of those things help me apply goodness. All of those things facilitate the Spirit of God in my life, and they allow me to show forth the signs of a changed life. Sometimes there's things I'm dealing with, and there's some blue that's trying to get on me, if you will. There's temptations in my life, and I need to come to church, hear the Word of God to help me, to know how to apply this and not this. Because I want to be the image of God. I want to be Jesus to the world. An epistle seen and read of all men, commending myself unto men for conscience sake. Why? Because I want to be the image of God. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, I pray that as we've gone through this study, Lord, we would understand. Lord, we do have this treasure in earthen vessels, God, and we spend so much time on what does corrupt, God, what fades away, what has no eternal value. Lord, let us take our focus away from the earthen vessel, God, and let's put it on what really matters, the treasure that is inside. And Lord, that treasure would be so much, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Lord, that our conversation, our lifestyle, that we would be so in love with you and want so much to be related to you, to be a child of God, that it would show forth in our lives, in what we do, and how we live. And Lord, we would take time to read your word. We would take time to pray, consider what you would have us to do to be changed into your image from glory to glory. That when other people see me, it wouldn't be me they see, but it would be you. That I could, as we've said, say to myself, mirror, mirror of the word, help me do what I've heard. Help me to put into practice those precepts and principles found in your word to live a life in view of others, that they may see my good works, not for my sake, but for your sake, that you would receive glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in Jesus' name.